Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode of The World of Percy Jackson. In this episode we're going to read chapters 47 to 48. In the previous episode we read chapters 45 to 46, in which we finally saw an interaction between Nico and Will Solis. And while we got to see that comical conversation between the two of them, we also got interrupted by the lovely Octavian. So now we shall read chapters 47 to 48 to see how the rest of this course is going to go, see how they're going to combat against Octavian's monsters. So chapter 47, Nico. Nico wasn't sure whether to kick himself or Will Solis. If he hadn't been so distracted bickering with the son of Apollo, he would have never allowed the enemy to get so close. As the dog-headed man barreled forward, Nico raised his sword. He doubted he had the strength left to win, but before he could attack them, Will let out a piercing taxicab whistle. All six dogmen dropped their weapons, grabbed their ears, and fell down in agony. "Dude," Cecil opened his mouth to pop his ears. "What the actual Hades? A little warning next time?" "It's even worse for the dogs," Will shrugged. "One of my few musical talents. I do a really awful ultrasonic whistle." Nico didn't complain. He waded through the dogmen, jabbing them with his sword. They had dissolved into shadows. Octavian and the other Romans seemed too stunned to react.
My elite guard!
Octavian looked around for sympathy.
"Did you see what he did to my elite guard?"
"Some dogs need to be put down," Nico took a step forward. "Like you." For one beautiful moment, the entire first cohort wavered. Then they remembered themselves and leveled their pillow.
"You will be destroyed!" Octavian shrieked. "You're a great guy. Sneak around, sabotaging our weapons, attacking our men!"
"You mean the weapons you were about to fire at us?" Cecil asked.
"And the men who are about to burn our camp to ashes?" added Llewellyn.
"Just like a Greek," Octavian yelled, "trying to twist things around. Well, it won't work."
He pointed to the nearest legionnaires.
You, and you. Check all the onagers. Make sure they're operational. Oh, I want them fired simultaneously as soon as possible. Go."
The four Romans ran. Nico tried to keep his expression neutral. "Please don't check the firing trajectory," he thought. He hoped Cecil had done his work well. It was one thing to screw up a huge weapon. It was another thing to screw it up so subtly that no one noticed until it was too late. But if anyone had that skill, it would be a child of Hermes, god of trickery. Octavian marched up to Nico. To his credit, the ogre didn't seem afraid. Though his only weapon was a dagger, he stopped so close. Nico could see the bloodshot veins in his pale, watery eyes. His face was gaunt. His hair was the color of overcooked spaghetti. Nico knew Octavian was a legacy, a descendant of Apollo many generations removed. Now he couldn't help thinking that Octavian looked like a watered-down, unhealthy version of Will Solis, like a photo that had been copied too many times. Whatever made a child of Apollo special, Octavian didn't have it.
"Tell me, son of Pluto," the ogre hissed. "Why are you helping the Greeks? What have they ever done for you?"
Nico was itching to stab Octavian in the chest. He'd been dreaming of that ever since Bryce Lawrence had attacked him in South Carolina. But now that they were face to face, Nico hesitated. He had no doubt he could kill Octavian before the first cohort intervened. Nor did Nico particularly care if he died for his actions. The trade-off would be worth it. But after what happened with Bryce, the idea of cutting down another demigod in cold blood, even Octavian didn't sit well. Nor did it seem right to sentence Cecil, Llewellyn, and Will to die with him. It doesn't seem right. Another part of him wondered, since when do I worry about what's right?
"I'm helping the Greeks and the Romans," Nico said.
Octavian laughed.
"Don't try to con me. What have they offered you? A place in their camp?" "They won't honor their agreement."
"I don't want place in their camp," Nico snarled, "or in yours. When this war is over, I'm leaving both camps for good." Will Solis made a sound like he'd been punched.
"Why would you do that?"
Nico scowled.
It's none of your business. But I don't belong. That's obvious. No one wants me. I'm a child of... Oh, please. Will sounded unusually angry. Nobody at Camp Half-Blood ever pushed you away. You have friends. Or at least people who would like to be your friend. You pushed yourself away. If you'd get in your head out of that brooding cloud of yours for once... Enough! Octavian snapped. D'Angelo! Well, I can beat any offer the Greeks couldn't make. Well, I always thought you would make a powerful ally. Well, I see the ruthlessness in you, and I appreciate that. Well, I can assure you a place in New Rome. All you have to do is step aside and allow the Romans to win. The god Apollo has shown me the future. No! Will Sulla shoved Nico out of the way and got in Octavian's face. I am a son of Apollo, you anemic loser. My father hasn't shown anyone the future because the power of prophecy isn't working. But this... He waved loosely at the assembled legion. The horde of the monstrous army spread across the hillside. This is not what Apollo would want. Octavian's lip curled. You lie. The god told me personally that I will be remembered as the savior of Rome. I will lead the legion to victory, and I will start by... Nico felt the sound before he heard it. Thunk, 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 reverberating through the earth like the massive gears of a drawbridge. All the onagers fired at once, and six golden comets billowed into the sky. By destroying the Greeks, Octavian cried with glee, the days of Camp Half-Blood are over. Nico couldn't think of anything more beautiful than an off-course projectile, at least not today. From the three sabotage machines, the payloads veered sideways, arching towards the barrage from the other three onagers. The fireballs didn't collide directly. They didn't need to. As soon as the missiles got close to one another, all six warheads detonated in midair, spraying a dome of gold and fire that sucked the oxygen right out of the sky. The heat stung Nico's face. The grass hissed. The tops of the trees steamed, but when the fireworks faded... No serious damage had been done. Octavian reacted first. He stomped his feet and yelled, No, no, no! Reload! No one in the first cohort moved. Nico heard the fur chomping of boots to his right. The fifth cohort was marching them toward double time. Dakota in the lead. Further downhill, the rest of the legion was trying to form up, but the second, third, and fourth cohorts were now surrounded by a sea of ill-tempered, monstrous allies. The auxilia forces didn't look happy about the explosion overhead. No wonder they'd been waiting for Camp Half-Blood to go up in flames so they'd get charboiled demigod for breakfast. Octavian! Dakota called. We have new orders! Octavian's left eye twitched so violently it looked like it might explode. Orders? From whom? Not from me! From Reyna! Dakota said, loud enough to make sure everyone in the first cohort could hear. She's ordered us to stand down! Reyna? Octavian laughed, though no one seemed to get the joke. You mean the outlaw I sent you to arrest? The ex-praetor who conspired to betray her own people with this... Gracchus? He jabbed his finger in Nico's chest. You're taking orders from her? The fifth cohort formed up behind their centurion, uneasily facing their comrades in the first. Dakota crossed his arms stubbornly. Reyna is the praetor until voted otherwise by the Senate. This is war, Octavian yelled. I've brought you to the brink of ultimate victory and you want to give up? First cohort, arrest Centurion Dakota and any who stand with him. Fifth cohort, remember your vows to Rome and the Legion. You will obey me. Will Sulla shook his head. Don't do this, Octavian. Don't force your people to choose. This is your last chance. My last chance? Octavian grinned, madness glinting in his eyes. I will save Rome. Now, Romans, follow my orders. Arrest Dakota. Destroy these Gracchus scum and reload those onagers. But the Romans would have done left to their own devices. Nico didn't know, but he hadn't counted on the Greeks. At that moment, the entire army of Camp Half-Blood appeared on the crest of Half-Blood Hill. Clarice LaRue rode in the lead, on a red war chariot pulled by metal horses. 100 demigods fanned out around her, with twice that many satyrs and nature spirits led by Grover Underwood. Tyson lumbered forward with 6 other cyclops. Chiron stood in full white stallion mode, his bow drawn.
It was an impressive sight, but all Nico could think was,
"No, not now,"
Clarice yelled.
"Romans! You have fired on our camp! Withdraw or be destroyed!"
Octavian wheeled in on his troops.
"You see? It was a trick! They divided us so they could launch a surprise attack! Legion! Cuna Formente! Charge!"
And that's the end of chapter 47. That was definitely a roller coaster of a chapter, if I do say so myself. I mean, you almost, it looked like almost a near victory for the Romans, then it looked like it wasn't a victory anymore, and then it was a victory again, then it wasn't, and then it ended up with a victory. We'll have to see what exactly happens, but yeah, I would definitely say that the least liked character in this entirety of the book is definitely Octavian. Not even Gaia. I would definitely say it's Octavian. Least favorite character of all time, Octavian. No doubt about that. But yes, that is the end of this chapter. After the break, we will come back and read the second chapter and move on to our Q&A session. So, see you after the break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back from the ads, and now we're going to read chapter 48, Nico. Nico wanted to yell, "Time out! Hold it! Freeze!" But he knew it wouldn't do any good. After weeks of waiting, agonizing, and steaming, the Greeks and Romans wanted blood. Trying to stop the battle now would be like trying to push back a flood after the dam broke. Will Solis saved the day. He put his fingers in his mouth and did a taxicab whistle even more horrible than the last. Several Greeks dropped their swords. A ripple went through the Roman line, like the entire first cohort was shuddering.
"Don't be stupid!" Will yelled. "Look!"
He pointed to the north, and Nico grinned from ear to ear. He decided there was something more beautiful than an off-course projectile. The Athena Parthenos gleaming in the sunrise, flying in from the coast, suspended from the tethers of 6-winged horses. Roman eagles circled but did not attack. A few of them even swooped in, grabbed the cables, and helped them carry the statue. Nico didn't see Blackjack, which worried him, but Reina Ramirez Arellano rode on Guido's back. Her sword was held high, her purple cloak glittered strangely, catching the sunlight. Both armies stared, dumbfounded, as the 40-foot-tall golden ivory statue came in for a landing.
"Greek demigods!"
Reina's voice boomed as it projected from the statue itself, like the Athena Parthenos had become a stack of concert speakers.
"Behold your most sacred statue, the Athena Parthenos, wrongly taken by the Romans. I return it to you now as a gesture of peace."
The statue settled on the crest of the hill, about 20 feet away from Talia's pine tree. Instantly, gold light rippled across the ground into the valley of Camp Half-Blood and down the opposite side through the Roman ranks. Warmth seeped into Nico's bones, a comforting, peaceful sensation he hadn't had since. He couldn't even remember. A voice inside him seemed to whisper, "You are not alone. You are part of the Olympian family. The gods have not abandoned you."
"Romans!" Reina yelled. "I do this for the good of the Legion, for the good of Rome. We must stand together with our Greek brethren." "Listen to her!"
Nico marched forward. He wasn't sure why he did it. Why would either side listen to him? He was the worst speaker, the worst ambassador ever. Yet he strode between the battle lines, his black sword in his hand.
"Reina risked her life for all of you. We brought this statue halfway across the world, Roman and Greek working together, because we must join forces. Gaia is rising. If we don't work together, you will die."
The voice shook the earth. Nico's feeling of peace and safety instantly vanished. Wind swept across the hillside. The ground itself became fluid and sticky, the grass pulling at Nico's boots. A futile gesture! Nico felt as if he was standing on the goddess's throat, as if the entire length of Long Island resonated with her vocal cords. But if it makes you happy, you may die together. No. Octavian scrambled backward. No. No. He broke and ran, pushing through his own troops. Close ranks! Rena yelled. The Greeks and Romans moved together, standing shoulder to shoulder as all around the earth shook. Octavian's auxiliary troops surged forward, surrounding the demigods. Both camps put together were a minuscule dot in the sea of enemies. They would make their final stand on Half-Blood Hill, with the Athena Parthenos as their rallying point. But even here, they stood on enemy ground, because Gaia was the Earth, and the Earth was awake. And that's the end of Chapter 48. Well, what a end to a chapter, because now we have finally seen that we are going to see the Earth Mother rise. We shall see her rise from her wake, and we shall see her in her attempt to take over the rest of the world. Or as she probably likes to think, reclaim who she represents, the Earth. So, nonetheless to say, it's going to be a very interesting chapter. But it was also very fascinating to see that the moment Octavian left, everyone just stopped caring. The thing that they had been fighting for against Greeks about, everything just flew out the window. The moment Gaia started to speak was when that fear turned into unity for the Greeks and the Romans. They forgot their animosity. They forgot everything that they had against each other, because that sole factor behind their war was gone. And that was Octavian. So, seems like a very bittersweet kind of moment right there, with Octavian running away like a coward, but Gaia rising. I'll definitely have to say, next week will be a very interesting chapter to look at. But until then, we shall look at the Q&A session. Once again, a couple of disclaimers for the Q&A session is, one, if I skip your question, do please let me know, and I will try my best to make it in the next episode. However, with that being said, there are a couple of more subsection-like disclaimers to follow. And the next one is that sometimes I avoid questions because I feel that they are personal for me to answer or uncomfortable for me to answer. And that does not mean to discourage anyone from answering or asking questions, but it's just simply something that I do not wish to answer at this moment. Hopefully in the future I will be able to, but at the moment, not possible. And then another one is, if I see a question that I most likely answered in a previous episode, I will probably not be answering that question. And with that being said, I highly encourage you to check out previous episodes where I may have answered your questions. And yes. So now, without further ado, let's move on to the Q&A session. So first question is, if you had to go on a quest from the books, which one would you choose? The classic Lightning Thief quest. To me, I think that one of the scariest quests ever known was the Labyrinth. Definitely one of the scariest ones to exist. You never know when you're getting out, and you never know when you're gonna face another monster, because that was a never-ending, constant-changing maze. And that would be a very bad nightmare to be in. So, probably the Lightning Thief. Granted, fighting the God of War is probably not the easiest solution, but I'd probably say it's a bit better than going through the Labyrinth. Next question is, favorite Greek myth? I would have to say it's the tale of Eurydice and her lover. I forgot his name, but it's definitely a very sad story nonetheless, and I think that it shows us a lot about human nature and what we will do for the people we care about. And it's just very fascinating to watch for me, just to see how humans will do anything that they will at the cost of even themselves just to save the things that they care for, the things that they love. So yes, definitely one of my top favorite myths, easily. Next question is, would you possibly do a meet and greet? That's a great question. I would probably maybe do it in sometime in the future, maybe. Be on the lookout for that. But, yeah, I think I'd definitely be open to doing something like that. Next question is, if you had to choose one of the seven to die, who would it be? That's a very hard question. You know, worst case scenario, I would probably do eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Because I just could, I could never choose. Each and every single demigod is so precious and has such, brings immense, unlimited amount of value to both the team, to both the world, and just choosing one of them to die would render all that meaningless. So I definitely have to think about that a little bit longer. But, yes. Next question is, favorite trait of Percy? Definitely his humor. His humor is one of my favorite ones. But I think that his loyalty is also another one that I truly admire. I mean, you don't see every day that that someone's willing to jump into Tartarus for their girlfriend or boyfriend. So I definitely say hats off to Percy for that. Next question is, who would win the seven demigods or Ron, Harry, and Hermione? Probably the seven demigods. Most likely because they fought monsters and gods. So, yeah, I definitely say the seven demigods. Now, next question is, have you heard about the Percy Jackson and the Tales of Olympus podcast? I have not, but I would definitely like to check it out and see how it is. Next question is, have you watched any anime? Does Pokemon count? I think that Pokemon is probably the only anime that I'd consider watching. But if any of you guys have any recommendations, please let me know. And I will try my best to look at them. But yes, that concludes our Q&A session. Shoutouts will be listed on the description of the podcast, so be sure to check those out. And yes, so until next week, stay safe and stay out of boredom.